This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 233. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Movie schlock meets demonic weapons, Spock gets a goatee, the wolf meets the lady of the lake, and Munchausen to the rescue. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, November 25th, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs. Or you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. DCU Presents number 14 by Andraco and Rocha. So this is the second part of the Black Lightning Blue Devil story. The main story, frankly, isn't all that interesting, but something they brought up within the story, this concept, I just loved. Blue Devil's grandfather ran the schlocky film studio.
And they had all these real demonic items.
Yes.
And magical items. And I think I thought the same thing you did when I first read that. I immediately thought about, oh, it's a Hollywood Warehouse 13.
Yeah, it's Warehouse 13 meets Roger Corman. And the idea that if you made fun of the items, it cheapens their power. And so that was what his family had done throughout the years and throughout the centuries. And now it's in the form of a B-movie studio. Really, the rest of the story I could take or leave, but I do hope we get to see this Blue Devil again.
Well, there's more in this series.
Right. Right, but there's probably one more issue, and then I'm hoping we see this version of Blue Devil continue as a character past this story arc.
So it is a really neat idea, although it does seem, ooh, a skin suit, you know, that's kind of gross. Somebody
yeah.
skinned a demon?
Right.
Ew.
Star Trek Ongoing number 15 from IDW by Johnson and Fahar. So we've now gotten around to the Mirror Mirror episode. Again, the idea of the Star Trek Ongoing series is to recreate the original series episodes, but in the J.J. Abrams continuity. So the Mirror Mirror episode, if you don't remember, is the one with Spock with a goatee, and they go to a mirror universe, and the Federation is now the Empire, and they're the bad guys.
Right. I was kind of wondering, though, why it would have affected the J.J. Abrams thing would have affected this other alternate timeline so much.
Well, as they had in the framing sequence with Scott and McCoy, they said that there were infinite versions of universes. So this is the J.J. Abrams Mirror Mirror universe, presumably.
Oh, I suppose the original series mirror universe could still be off somewhere.
Exactly. There's even an in-joke to the 60s series because they say, oh, there's probably a different version of Spock and McCoy. And behind them, there's a picture of who are clearly doing and...
DeForest Kelly.
Oh, yikes. My goodness. So there's that in-joke there. They did make a few changes to accommodate the J.J. Abrams continuity. In this case, Spock is still captain, but Uhura is the captain's woman now in this continuity. Kirk is the first officer, and the ISS Enterprise has finally crushed the Klingon Empire, while Kirk is off on a special mission where he ends up getting the codes for Nero's ship. And again, Nero's ship was from the first of the new Star Trek movies, where it's this super ship that is so much more powerful than any other regular ship. He goes in and kills Nero as well for his trouble. He shows up with Nero's ship, and Spock's crew, including Uhura, deserts him.
I like the touch of changing from the colored shirts to the black uniforms.
Right. So Kirk apparently destroys the Enterprise and is now off to Vulcan to do whatever he's going to do. Now, in this world, is Vulcan destroyed already or not?
I kind of got the feeling that they stopped Nero before he destroyed Vulcan.
Right. So in this continuity, maybe Kirk destroys Vulcan. Again, the mirror, mirror universe concept is something that's popped up not only from the original series, but in subsequent Trek series. There's a whole series of novels about the mirror, mirror universe. It keeps popping up over and over. It's a kind of an evergreen concept. Fables number 123 from Vertigo by Willingham, Ha, and McManus. So we get more information about the wolf and the turtle, and the turtle's telling him that this girl that fated the wolf to die actually works for the Fates, the Three Fates, and that she does, in fact, assign fates. She doesn't just divine them. She apparently absorbs fates from the dead in battle.
So she's a wheeler dealer in fates.
Right.
They said sometimes she doesn't do exactly what the fates tell her.
So the wolf confronts the girl, and the man who swapped fates with the wolf arrives, and he launches this magical snake against the wolf, but the wolf makes short work of it and ends up eating the magician, ironically sealing his fate.
Exactly.
And so the girl swaps the fates, and she ends up becoming more dutiful in her duties of assigning these fates. And we learn later she becomes the Lady of the Lake in the whole Arthurian myth.
And we also do learn that the man actually writing this story is actually one of the wolf's sons.
Right.
I think we
right. Yeah,
figured
we pretty much
out.
Determined that at the end. Now, in the backup story, the King of Oz is hung by this magical rope.
I liked that. That was pretty funny.
It's like, well, my job is to hang people, and here I go. And
hey, you're not hanging. Why aren't you dead?
That doesn't work. And I've got this really strong neck, and so tries a little harder and just kind of pops the head off. And the next issue of Fables will apparently be a full-length story from this storyline that will wrap up that storyline.
I'm still interested in what's happening back in the regular Fables storyline when they find out about their two children that are, one's dead and one's all grown up.
Mm-hmm. The Unwritten number 43 from Vertigo by Carrion Gross. So Tommy's in a pickle. He's about to get hacked to death by a polar bear. And the polar bear's animal friends try to talk him out of it. And one is sliced in two for his troubles. But Tommy ends up being saved by Baron Munchausen, who we last met in the belly of Leviathan. And we learn that the wave that basically was at the end of the first major storyline pulled a number of literary characters to this ruined area.
Including Elizabeth Bennet.
Yes.
Of Pride and Prejudice.
Who ends up offering herself just to get some food. And Munchausen suggests this concept of whales within whales, that maybe they're with all within this giant whale and there's another whale outside of that. Meanwhile, the word of the attack between the polar bear and Tommy gets back to the rabbits, who are the bad guys now. Tommy has to get to the land of the dead in order to save Lizzie. That's why he came there in the first place. But back on Earth, the Aussie detective has to leave because they have no idea how long this is going to take for Tommy to be there. Last time it took months, and when he came back out, he came out in a completely different place. She has to leave to go back to her life, but Danny decides to stay.
He's going to keep telling stories, thinking that Tom will be able to come out on a story.
Right. Munchausen takes Tommy to the land of the dead, says, I know how to get there.
I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, it's up high because you can't breathe.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So the rabbits try to stop him, and the unicorn tries to talk the rabbits out of attacking. He just kind of confronts them. And why are you doing this? And is killed by arrows for his trouble.
They kill him anyway, so.
And apparently getting to the land of the dead, as you said, involves going really, really high. And then Munchausen ties feathers to the feet of his horse. Says, oh, now he can fly because now we're up high enough that he can fly anyway. they go leaping off this cliff, and the horse apparently flies, but Tommy ends up falling off the horse and falling.
He's shot.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And then he falls into the water.
And we learn that the water is, in fact, the gateway to the land of dead.
Right.
So he got where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
And that final scene was just the most awesome and gruesome thing.
Because these various literary women show up to see.
Well, they're starving.
Right. To see the unicorn. And they're like, oh, food.
Yeah. Waste not, want not.
Exactly.
And many hands make light work. So there goes the unicorn off to get roasted for dinner. Ew.
Before we get out of here, time to play America's fastest scurrying new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I think I'm ready.
I think I already pressed the button. Nope. Okay, go.
TV related?
Yes.
Movie related?
It's TV related.
Okay,
I just said.
I thought maybe it was multiple categories.
No.
Just TV related.
You just weren't listening.
Yeah. So it's TV related. Is it one show on the cover?
Yes.
Okay. One show that's currently on television?
Yes.
On one of the major networks?
No.
On cable?
Yes.
On pay cable?
No.
Okay. So is it on like FX?
Yes.
Okay. So is it a drama?
Yes.
Is it some sort of genre?
Not really.
Not really. Okay, so it's FX.
Not genre in the typical sense of the word.
Okay. And it's a drama. All right. Let's see. It's not one of those ones that they say is a comedy, but is actually a drama.
That's correct.
Okay.
I don't think that you could in any way, shape, or form call this one a comedy.
Okay. Let's see. Is it one person on the cover?
Yes.
Is it a man?
Yes.
Is it a man under 30?
I don't know.
Okay. So he's not like over 50.
That's correct.
And he's not like under 20.
Right.
So somewhere in there.
Yes.
Okay, FX. Let's see. Dexter's not on FX, is it?
I don't think so. I think Dexter's on Showtime.
That's what I thought. Okay. Let's see. Blonde?
Blondish.
Blondish. Currently on FX. Let's see. Blondish. Is it anything related to cops?
Oh man, I ran out already. I don't think you would get this one.
Okay.
It's Charles Hunnaman.
Yeah.
Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah. I probably wouldn't have gotten around to that one.
No.
That would have taken me a while.
It would have.
Yes.
I kind of guessed you wouldn't win that one.
Oh, well. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek Next Generation and Justice League animated series reviews. Actually, just moved over to Star Trek DS9 starts this
Woo-hoo!
Week. Please subscribe via iTunes and leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.